All right, welcome to Falls International Baptist Institute. Our spring 2020 semester is starting, and we're so thankful for those of you that are coming online to watch this. There'll be some watching, especially my wife's first class here this evening. You'll be watching her live with the class, and then for the ladies there in Ghana that are taking this class, there at Pastor Dari's, and then over in Chamah and in Agona, we're praying that God would bless this semester as my wife teaches for her first time in this venue with the Christian Womanhood, and then I'll be teaching our classes to the men and to the ladies later on. So, as we get started, we want to open up the semester in a word of prayer. And again, this is a ladies-only class, so the men need not try to register for this class. This is just for ladies. We're going to open up in a word of prayer, and then we're going to go just over a couple of class things that will be requirements in all of our classes this semester. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please now bless as we record these classes. I pray that our connections would be good. I pray, Lord God, that you'd bless Angie in just a moment as she teaches. Bless on Pastor Dari's end and the other pastors as they come online to watch it, that they would be able to get everything with no kind of connection issues. And just bless throughout all the classes tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, ladies, the way that we normally do our Bible college classes is we'll have 12 sets of class notes, so every week. And Angie may do things like I do. She may do things a little different. Each teacher does things different. But the way we normally do things is we have 12 sets of class notes. So as she prepares the class notes and her lesson notes and gets them into an organized format, then we would email them over to Pastor Dari. I'm not sure how she's going to do with the final exams. The way I do things in our classes is anything that's in the class notes that's in bold print or underlined, you can count on it. That's going to be a question in some way, shape, or form on the final exam. She may do things a little different. This is her first lesson, so she's still putting all of the curriculum together that she's going to use. And so I'll let her talk more about that over this week and the next several weeks. This is a 12-week class. I've sent over the class schedule already to Pastor Dari. He has that schedule, not only the calendar of classes, there's two nights that we'll miss. So we have the 12 classes culminating in the final exam, which is the 13th week, which will be the very last Thursday night of May. So again, we're excited about all of this. A lot of new classes this year with her teaching the Christian Womanhood. I'm teaching Hermeneutics 2, and I'm teaching the Prophets. And so we're praying for each of you that God will bless you as you learn this year. And I'm going to turn this class now over to my wife. Here's Angie.
Yes. Okay, hello. And I am very nervous. I've taught before, but not in this format, not where it needs to be. Usually I'm used to some back and forth and things like that. So please bear with me as I learn how to do it this way. And also, just for tonight, hopefully we can get this straightened out. My computer is an older computer, and I am very computer illiterate. And let's just say that I lost my outline for a while, and so I started transferring it to paper. We finally were able to get it back up right before we started here tonight. We couldn't print it out, so that's why this beast is on the thing here, and I'm trying to do it with this. But I will do my best to be orderly and to make sure that hopefully it's clear. As far as tests go and things like that, he doesn't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it either. I've never done that either. So that is something also that I will let you know. Don't be worried as we teach through things. If I'm not especially clear throughout, I will give you something at the end, a study sheet or something, so that you are aware of what I would consider is stuff I want to put on the test. But just pray for me as I do this, because this is all brand new for me as well. And I'm used to teaching, as I said, but not used to teaching with this format. So I'll try to make sure my class notes and things are clear. If you have any questions as I do it, please let me know. I have Facebook Messenger for those of you in Africa. If you need to get in touch with me, or you want to get in touch with me through my husband, please, if I'm not clear, if I'm moving too fast, or if you just have a question over the content, please let me know, because I want to make sure that I'm understood, and also that the format, it makes sense to you. So as we start, I was praying about how to do this. I'm used to curriculum as well. When I taught my boys, I always had a curriculum and a way to do it. And I'm not, there are a lot of women who are very good at just jumping in and making their own plans. I tend to like a template, and then I like to fill in my own stuff. But I think what we're going to do is go through several passages. Christian womanhood, when I think of that, I think of the question, what does God want out of women, Christian women? What does God want us to be like? How does he want us to act, to speak, to react? And there are several key passages in the Bible that are written specifically to women. And so that's what I'd like to go through as we start this. We're just going to look at these passages. I may not take them. In fact, I don't think I will take them and just go through the text of each one in order. I will probably try to group things in such a way, because even if I just looked at one, for instance, Titus chapter 2 and the portion there that's to the women, if I just tried to do that, I could get 12 lessons just by listing 12 things he tells the women in that. So I'll try to group things in an understandable way, and it's not going to be exhaustive, first of all, because that would be too much to cover in this semester, and secondly, because I'm not capable of that. You would have the wrong teacher if it was going to be exhaustive, but I'm going to do my best to follow the Lord as he tries to just follow his leadership on what would come to my mind as the important things that we need to stress. Also, I also would say this, remember, as I teach, I'm not teaching this because I have attained. I will never attain. I can assure you of that. I want to, and I'm trying to follow the things as the Lord shows me that he wants a lady to be. But just remember that as I teach, that I'm just sharing with you things that God is teaching me in my own personal study, and pray that God will help me. I one of the things that concerns me as I teach, I'm excited to do it, to just be able to share things God has shown me, and to teach as God tells in Titus chapter 2, the older women to teach the younger. I'm excited to do that, but I understand the great responsibility of sharing the Word of God, and I don't want to share anything or teach anything that is incorrect. So pray that God will give me wisdom and direction, and that I would stick with the Word of God. And okay, so having said all of that, I want to just kind of give a preview here of some of the texts in the Bible that I would like to cover. I have Titus chapter 2, and there's a lot of good stuff in Titus chapter 2. If you just start at the beginning, first he speaks to the men, but if you drop down to verse 3, he talks about the aged women, and that can be older. I would like to think I'm not aged yet, but I'm older than some of you, I know. And but also just, you know, older in the Lord. All of us should be teaching someone, and there's somebody that we can teach. But he says he's telling them to teach, and there's several things in this passage that he goes through and he lists, and I kind of wrote a list of this. I don't know how far I can go with this and still be where I'm supposed to be for the camera. Hopefully I'm not getting out of where I'm supposed to be. But in Titus chapter 2, just a few things. He wants the women to be of holy behavior, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, sober. He wants them to love their children, love their husbands, to be discreet and chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. That's a list that I came up with as I went through Titus chapter 2. I mean, there's so much there. We can take and just study each of these things and cross-reference with other scriptures. There's another portion in 1 Peter that's just a very good portion, especially for wives, but for all of us, as it talks about being submissive and chaste and inwardly adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. Unless the Lord changes my mind on this, I'm planning to deal with that pretty quickly here in the study, the meek and quiet spirit. And that's something that I definitely am going to enjoy studying into and also enjoy just learning about, because there's always work in that area for me anyway. And then trusting God. So a lot of things there. There's another portion in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 through 15 that talks about modest apparel and talks about being adorned with good works and how we're to learn, learning in silence and not to teach or usurp authority over the men. And so those are speaking some of that specifically to, speaking specifically to the church, especially when it talks about the women to be in silence and teaching men. We're not to be doing that in the church setting. But there's another portion in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 that talks about women And I want to try to bring some of this in. That's another one also talking about in the church setting, and I think shed some light on the last one as far as being silent and speaking in the church. It's not shameful for a woman to speak, but he doesn't want us speaking in the church. And then wives in ministry, there will be some specifics for them, although I think every woman ought to strive to be, I mean, you never know if God may call your husband one day, or if you're not married, if you would marry a preacher. And so I think it's good for all of us to look at the qualifications for a preacher's wife or a deacon's wife, the things that God wants us to be and to do, where we be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. So I'm just giving a very quick preview. I'm probably going very much too fast for you with this. Those are several. There's also a huge portion in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 10 and going through the end of the chapter there. And there's a lot there as well, speaking to the women. And just this is a lot about her, how industrious she was and the things that how her husband could trust in her. And so, and just towards the end, talking more about her, you know, how her family, you know, respects her. Her husband is, I think it said her husband is known in the gates. That's not the one I'm looking for. He's praised. He praises her, I think. Her children bless her. In 12 classes cover all of that completely. But I want to try to take the highlights and just help us to just study and learn. But as I thought about teaching this, I thought about what's the purpose for this class? You know, why are we studying Christian womanhood? And I came up with three things that I would like to point out to increase our knowledge and our understanding of God's will for us as women. You know, how can we be the kind of woman God wants us to be if we don't know what God wants? And so we've got to get into the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to, as we do this, be listening and increasing your knowledge and your understanding of what God wants out of a woman. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty for all of us to work on in our lives. The second thing is, by the grace of God, to live out these truths. If we just take in a bunch of knowledge and we're learning all these truths and things, but we're not applying them in our lives, we're going to be like a sponge soaking up all of this stuff with no purpose, just laying there. God wants us to use this knowledge and apply it and be an example of what he wants. Also, then the third reason I would say also is so that we can be able to teach these truths to other ladies as God puts them in our paths. And right now I can think of several people that God's going to put in your path. You will probably already have daughters maybe, or friends. Maybe you're a student in college. I don't know. You have a fellow student that you can share this with. Other ladies in the church that maybe aren't coming to these classes, we can be teaching. And it doesn't always mean we have a classroom setting. Just as God opens the door and gives opportunity, if you know how he wants a woman to be, you'll be able to share these things just as you do your daily chores and you walk along the way, as God said in the Old Testament with the children. So that would be the purpose in my mind for these classes, not just to learn, not just to practice and obey these in our own lives, but then to be able to teach others also. And Titus talks about that. If you look at Titus chapter 2, verse 4, that is, I'm right here already. He says, that they may teach, and he wants us to be teaching. And he talked about the age of women, because hopefully we've grown and we can be teachers. And one of the things I'm going to talk about today, and I don't have my watch in here, so I can look at that. Okay. That I want to talk about today is that we need to be careful that we are able to be a teacher. You know, the old James, a pastor, had a relative that would smoke, and she would tell the grandkids, don't smoke, but she's doing it. You know, we can't be doing that. You know, we're telling our children, you should not lose your temper, and then we lose our temper. Though that's just a very simple thing, but we need to be careful to live these things out. So as we move on, I thought about, you know, a lot of courses have a prerequisite, something that you need to know or do or understand first. You can't take Algebra 2 until you take Algebra 1. And I would think the prerequisites for this course, and the first one's very obvious, and I won't stay there very long, but salvation. In order to be a Christian woman, in order for this class to benefit you, you must be saved. And I would assume that everyone taking this course is saved, but that's not always true. Sometimes, you know, somebody's afraid to speak up or afraid to share that they don't know for sure if they're saved. And so I would encourage you, Lord willing, And hopefully in your life there has been a time where you realized that you were a sinner and that you were headed to hell because of that sin, and you were destined to spend eternity in hell. But then you heard the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins and paid the price for your sins. And then at that point, you repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and the finished work that he did on the cross of Calvary, and trusted him for your salvation. And that is a one-time decision that a person makes. It takes place. It's not something a little boy said to me in Sunday school the other week, that his uncle was trying to tell him that we're all born, because Jesus died when we're born, we're all saved. And I was glad that he understood the truth here as we were teaching him that that is not true. God gives us a choice, and many people choose their sin or choose their religion, their own way, over the Lord Jesus. And I hope you've trusted in him as your Savior. But also, as you try to teach other ladies, remember, this is an important prerequisite. Make sure that they understand salvation. That's the first step, because you can try, and there probably are people who are trying to be Christian in their actions, and it's just not going to work. You need to be saved first. But then I want to just go to a story in the Bible here in Luke chapter 10, and this is extremely important. Before, this is another prerequisite. Salvation, the first prerequisite, that's the foundation, having Jesus as the foundation. But then I want to look at the book of Luke, and when I talk, I can't do two things. I'm around the book of Jeremiah right now, and I know that's not where Luke is. So I'm going to have to pay attention here. The book of Luke and chapter 10, we learn of two women here. And these two women were sisters, and I'm sure you've heard about them before. Often as I looked at this story, I found myself more like the older sister, or we assume she's the older, Martha. But God wants us to be like Mary, and I think there's good traits that both of them have. In fact, there were times where I felt sorry for Martha, until I heard a preacher preaching one time and said, you know, when you feel like it was a little unfair, you're judging what Jesus said to her, and that really convicted me. I think I felt sorry for her because I've been in her shoes too often. But as I look at this, and we talk about being a Christian woman, you cannot be a Christian woman until you learn the lesson that Martha needed to learn, and until you become like Mary and sit at Jesus' feet and learn to do that in your life. And so I just want to read here. Martha, there were two sisters. Martha received Jesus into her house. I don't want to read all of this here. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat, this is verse 39, chapter 10, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So she's sitting at Jesus' feet and she's listening to his word. But Martha, cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And I tend to be like Martha. A lot of times I find myself serving in the kitchen, doing things like that. That's what I see. And the way I serve, and there's nothing wrong with that. That wasn't what Jesus rebuked her for. But Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. See, she looks at her sister, and her sister's sitting there at Jesus' feet hearing the word of God. And she, as she looks at her, she's thinking, tell her to help me in the kitchen. I'm in here working, and there have been times where I've been working, think I'd like to sit down too, you know. But and there's a time for that work. But Jesus answered her two things. He told her, and I don't want to focus on the first one, but he told her that her problem was she was troubled about many things. And many times when we have something troubling us in our heart, every little thing outwardly bothers us. But he told her this as well: one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And that is what I want to focus on right here. Mary chose the one thing that was needful. And if we're not careful in our lives, ladies, we'll try to be doing all these things that we believe Christian women should do, serving in ministry, helping her husband, dealing with the children, and we haven't done the one thing that is needful. And I want to point out a little bit why it is needful, and I don't want to take too long here. I wasn't sure. I'm not real good at figuring out how long things are going to take me. So anyway, we'll see here how far I get and if I need to pick up with some of this later. But we have Jesus, not in person, but we have the Word of God here. And just as if he were coming to our house, if Jesus were to visit our house today, we would make a way to sit down and visit with him. But he's here through the Word of God, which is quick and powerful. And we need to make time. We need to sit down and spend that time with him. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to teach us and to lead us through his word. He wants us to be like Mary and choose that needful thing. And I think we sometimes don't realize how needful it is. You know, if we could, I tell my children this all the time, my boys, if we could live without the word of God, there'd be a whole lot of people doing better than they're doing right now. But the fact is, we sometimes think we can do all this stuff and we do it in our own flesh and we fail. And I thought of some things that we need the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 talks about that the, I better look at it or I'll quote it wrong. 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants, yes, he wants us to be women of good works, and we're going to see that in the things that we read. That was some of the things he said, we'd be adorned with good works, but we can't do it without the word of God. We need the word of God to just saturate our hearts. If you could picture your heart like a well, and you could picture the pump being your actions, your thoughts, your attitudes, those things that spring out of that, what are we putting in our well? If we don't have the word of God coming into our lives, our well is going to quickly run dry, and we're going to find ourselves weary, we're going to find ourselves empty, maybe wanting to quit, but we've got to keep that well constantly refilled with the word of God. And so there's understanding found in the word of God. There's correction, as this says, correction, reproof, and correction. You know, we need that. Just another thing that I want to point out, ladies, if you want to be a godly Christian woman, let the word of God speak to your heart and let him deal with the things in your life. You know, there are things in our lives, I'm sure, that are unknown that we need to pray like David, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me. And I'm not quoting that exactly right. I think that's found in Psalm 139, so let me just go there. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God's word can show us when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not living how God wants us to live. And so God can do that. And then he can lead us and give us guidance for our decisions every day. Our husbands make the major decisions, but there's choices and decisions. And sometimes our husbands may want to hear our thoughts on it. Well, how in the world are we going to have any kind of wisdom to share if we're not in the word of God? We're just going to be going on our feeling. And so we need to get in the word of God. But also many times there's sin in our lives and we know it's there. And before we can even become a godly woman at all, we've got to deal with those things in our heart that we know. Maybe there's something today, tonight, that you know is in your heart. You know it's not right and you've not dealt with it. Don't even begin this class like that. Please take time. Ask the Lord to examine your heart. Look at those things that you've been wanting to push aside and deal with them. I think of this because sometimes women struggle with this. I know several women that they're bitter. They're unforgiving. They're angry. And they don't know it. Because the thing is, the longer you coddle that in your heart and you hold it there and you allow it there, you're hurting yourself because you're getting to the place where you don't even recognize it. And before long, the Bible says in I think it's Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. It says, talks about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what we have in our heart, ladies, will eventually come out our mouth. And the thing is, a lot of times we won't recognize that. So we need to be careful to make sure. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And so that's why we have to be careful what we're bringing into our heart and be careful that we're not allowing things in our heart that will eventually tell on us. And not just because they'll tell on us. I don't want that to sound wrong. God knows it's there and we won't be able to grow and be what we need to be without it, without the word of God. It gives us direction. It gives us comfort. How many times have we gotten discouraged and wanted to quit? The word of God will comfort and encourage us. I think of the verse in 1 Corinthians that says, he talks about be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. And there are scriptures that give us comfort. So we need the word of God for comfort, for strength and joy. Psalm 28 verse 7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. God can encourage us through the Word of God. So it's very important to stay in the Word of God, get in the Word of God. And then prayer. I want to encourage you to be praying. And I was thinking about, you know, I wasn't going to deal with that as much, but prayer is important too, because prayer, when we're praying, we're asking the Lord for things, yes, but it's seeking God's face. One of my favorite portions of Scripture in Matthew and chapter, I'm trying to find it here, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And so we need to be praying and seeking God's face. But some other things that prayer does, Luke chapter 22 and verse 40, Jesus was telling his disciples that they needed to pray so that he could keep them from temptation. When we pray, God can help us and keep us from falling into temptation. The disciples, they fell asleep, they were weary, and they did fall into the temptation that the devil had, and they failed. Prayer will keep us from fainting. In Luke chapter 18, let me find it here, Luke chapter 18, verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Prayer will keep us from fainting. As ladies, we need to pray. The Lord wants to hear from us, and he wants to answer our prayers and give us peace in our hearts. But we've got to pray, and he'll keep us. That will keep us from fainting. I know, as ladies, many times we struggle. Life gets hard. I like to joke. There's in Ecclesiastes, there's a verse that says, "That which is done is that which shall be done." And I said that ought to be the woman's motto, because a lot of what we do again and again and again. We clean the house and we have to clean it again, and we feed the baby and we have to feed it again, and we make the meals and they eat it all and we have to feed it again, and dishes. So, but we could get discouraged. But that's why we need to pray, and we just need to talk to the Lord and let him encourage us. As I was thinking about this, one of the most encouraging things to me today, I looked at Romans 8:26 and what prayer does. You know, sometimes there's things that go on in our lives. We don't know how to pray. We really don't. Maybe we thought we knew how to pray, and we thought God was answering something, and then it all just falls to pieces, and you think, "I'm totally, how could I be so wrong?" But the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Holy Spirit will help us when we're struggling, and when we don't know how to pray, or when we're hurting too much to pray, the Holy Spirit will just come alongside of us. Sometimes we can just say, "Oh God," and we can't get any further, and we just start crying. And he just will take it for us, and he'll pray. And the thing is, he won't pray wrong. Sometimes we ask amiss, but he won't do that for us. He'll ask exactly what we need. And so I'm thankful for that. So we need to, as women, we need to be praying. We need to spend time. So what I'm pointing out is that Mary chose that thing that was needful, time at Jesus' feet, time to commune with him. You know, it seems like Mary's the only one out of all the disciples and all the women that were around Jesus that knew that Jesus was going to die. And as far as I can understand, she's the one that anointed Jesus ahead of time for the resurrection. I can't help but think that it's because she was the one spending time at his feet, that she spent so much time there, that God, she had a spiritual aptitude. Aptitude is probably not the right word. She grew faster, and she was growing her knowledge of God and what his plan was, and others missed out while they were working. So my point in this is that before we study all the things that a Christian woman should do as we look at Christian womanhood, I guess I want us to think about the difference between doing and being. Who are we inside? You know, if we go ahead and we are godly, we try to be godly in action without being godly in our heart, we're going to fail. We are going to, if our heart isn't what it should be, it's not going to come out of our heart, and we're going to get frustrated. We're going to quit. When we mess up, we're just going to give up. And we're going to be tired of it. And if we could succeed at it, it's not pleasing to God, because it's out of our flesh. Anything we do in our flesh is not pleasing to God. He wants us to do it through the Holy Spirit. And I used to struggle with that and not understand. The thing is, just realize that even the good you do now that you're saved isn't because of you. It's because God helps you. And it's important to recognize that. So I would say this. Many times people say, well, what's important is what's in the heart, not what's on the outside. I think we all know that that's not really true, because if we live outwardly what we aren't inwardly, I would call that, as many people do, a Pharisee. A lot of times the Pharisees did things for a show. That's why we call that. They would fast during the day and make sure everyone knew they were fasting, but then at night they'd be in their house in the refrigerator getting all the food they could get. They were fake. What was shown on the outside was not what was in the heart. But I would say, according to the Bible and the verse we looked at earlier, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so what's in the heart will show itself on the outside. And if anger's coming out of your mouth, then there's anger in your heart. But also, when you're right in your heart and you're godly in your heart, God will help your outward actions be godly. And how you portray yourself, how you carry yourself, your attitudes, your thoughts, and then your actions and your reactions. Does that mean we're perfect? No, I wish we were. I wish that every time I could take time to stop and think about how I'm going to respond to something, but we don't always do that, and we fail sometimes. But I'm thankful for God's graciousness, and he has mercy, and he'll forgive us and give us a chance to start again. So don't give up, but just remember, work on that inward, get it right. I was trying to explain this to a lady. We say the cart before the horse. In Africa, I didn't see any horses in Ghana. So I did see them in Burkina Faso. But it would be like trying to pull a trailer behind a truck or something like that, and you've got the trailer in front of the truck. You can't do it that way. You have to have the truck and then pull the trailer. And God wants us to have the heart right and then get the actions out of the heart. And so I would encourage us, ladies, let's work on our heart. Let's make sure that we're not just trying to do good things. Let's make sure that we're first being in our heart what God wants us to be, that what God knows about us is what we are actually showing on the outside. Because that's what's important, what God knows about you. And the thing is, if it's what's in the heart, it will come out and it will show. And God will help you. Bad habits are formed by doing the same bad thing again and again. We can form good habits, though. We can teach ourselves to stop before we speak and think, you know. But it takes time. And so these are things I wanted to bring this up before we look at all these things that God's going to say. And there are some of these things that are more inward, and I'll probably deal with the inward things first. Like a meek and quiet spirit is inward, and then it manifests outwardly. But being chaste and modest and some of those things, what you are in your heart will come out. And so as we look at these things, I want to look at the heart first. And so I wanted you to realize you're not going to be able to do any of these things. You're going to struggle. You're going to fail. You may succeed for a little while, but you will fail if you're not in the Word of God, walking with the Lord, asking for His help, and making sure that as we start this, like I said, if there's anything in your heart that shouldn't be there, that you're taking care of it now, and keeping a heart that's right with the Lord, so as He speaks to you, you can respond to Him, or you're not going to be able to hear Him. From all the things that you're allowing in your life, it's going to cloud Him out, and you won't hear and you won't be able to follow Him, and you certainly won't be godly. The verse that I want to end with tonight is in Titus chapter 2 again, and I will talk more about this later, but this verse here shows a huge responsibility to us women, and it's just a portion of the verse here. The Lord goes through all the things that He wanted the women to do and be, and He says, let me find the verse, the very end of verse 5, He said that the word of God be not blasphemed. If we're not careful, ladies, we can cause other people to blaspheme the word of God. I think of King David and his sin, and God said how He gave the wicked ability to talk against God and against God's people by the things he did. And if we're not careful, ladies, the way we act and the way we talk, and I've seen it happen, and I hope it's not happened in my own life. I know I've failed the Lord, but I hope that I've been able to make things right with my kids and things, but I don't want them saying, well, the Word of God's not true. It doesn't make a difference in her life. I don't see anything, and I don't ever want someone to say the Word of God's not true, or I don't care about it, because every Christian lady, and I've heard this said, every Christian lady I know, they may look nice on the outside, but boy, they're mean, and oh man, I don't want to be around them. I don't want that. That shouldn't be said. We're supposed to be sweet, and we're supposed to exemplify what God wants in a woman. And there's a reason He says about the meek and quiet spirit being of great price to the Lord, and it's worth a lot. There's also a reason He tells us women to be that. So He works on some of these things with us. So I hope that I've been clear. It was kind of crazy with my computer giving me all the problems and things, but if you have any questions, if I went too fast, just let me know. For the ladies in Africa, I will send the, once we get the notes and stuff, I will send these scriptures, and you'll be able to look at some of these. And I would encourage you, I'm going to be thinking more over maybe some of the things that you should read, but take some of these, like Titus 2, take some of those and read what God says to the women, and maybe write down some of these things so you're better prepared as we start learning through each of these, that you'll know where I'm going with this. So, okay, that's all I have for now, so I will see you all later, and hope you enjoyed it.